I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Chicago. This is the tailgate. It's time to wake up. It's a football weekend. It's the middle of September. The weather hasn't changed yet. We need some fall weather, but the Bears are 1-0. You get to mid-September and the Bears don't have a loss, we'll take it. I'm Paul Pabst, your host. We're talking college football, we're talking pro football, and a lot of Bears, of course. We're going to get you ready for the football weekend. We have a ton to get to today. We may need 2 hours. A great show ahead. Joining us later, he's the quarterback of the Northern Illinois Huskies, Ethan Hampton. The historic win at number 5 Notre Dame in South Bend, that game was surreal. That was where you're like, when is Notre Dame going to right the ship? When are they going to get it together? Northern still in this? It unbelievable win for Northern Illinois. That's fantastic. He'll be joining us in segment 2. Northern fans are coming out of the woodwork. They're having a blast giving it to Notre Dame fans. And bonus coverage coming up in just 5 minutes. He was the big hero last week at Soldier Field when all hope was lost, down 17-3 at half. Quiet. Nothing's happening on offense. The defense is doing a pretty good job. Chicago Bears defensive back Jonathan Owens, who changed the tone against the Titans last Sunday with his scoop and score off the third quarter block punt. He'll be joining us in just a bit. Sunday Night Football, Bears are going down to Houston to face the Texans. Prime time, NBC's Football Night in America. Bears are getting 6 points. While I love that the Bears are on national TV, a standalone game, you know, we could watch football all day on Sunday, watch the other games, and settle down, watch the Bears with no distractions. I'm concerned. I do worry that this may be a bit of an early stage for a team that's getting itself together, especially on offense. That said, let's get it. You want to join the big boys? You want to go take down Houston? You want to get some national attention? This is it. It's on a tee for the Chicago Bears. You want to grow up fast? Go down to Houston and give them a ball game. You know, you don't even really have to win this game. A win would be great. But at worst case scenario, you come back home 1-1. But you give them a great ball game. Defensively, I think they absolutely can. I think it's going to be a fantastic night. I'm going to say my prediction for a little bit later. But first, on this show, we talk about last week and get you set up for this week. I have to go back to the Bears roller coaster win over the Tennessee Titans last Sunday, 24-17. I do have to say it. I'm not an I told you so guy. I'm a really, really an I told you so guy. Last week on the show, I warned you a little bit. I said, let's be measured going into the Titans game as Bears fans. Let's not pop this one in the win column just because the Titans don't seem threatening or they don't have a great quarterback or we don't really know the Titans. The Bears had a rough day on offense, but a great day on defense and special teams. They turned a loss into a win. I've been watching the Bears a long time. You listening have been watching the Bears a long time. Those games usually end up being a loss, not a win. So you have to take it, whatever happens. We had Eli Manning on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week, and he talked about turning losses into wins. He even said, he goes, we started a Super Bowl season 0-2. We end up winning the Super Bowl. So don't worry about week one. Collectively as Bears fans, I think, though, we got a little drunk with excitement with the 4-0 record in the preseason. We pounded a few too many, had some sports beer muscles going into week one against the Titans. And, you know, when Caleb ran out of the tunnel, the team ran out of the tunnel, it was like 70 degrees. It was a beautiful day at Soldier Field. Everyone thought it was going to be a nice, clean win. It was not. It was a win. It sure wasn't clean. Down 17-3 at half was like a cold bucket of water to the face. Morale was low. I had the game on. I'm watching the game, of course. And at halftime, they come back and they show the crowd at Soldier Field. And I thought I had the sound off. I mean, I think people were a little bit of shock with the 17-3 at halftime. Luckily for us, the Bears defense and special teams stuck up. But even more so, the Titans really handed the win on a platter in the second half to the Bears. That wonky pass by Will Levis in the second half, that was a pick six, that looked like a grade school mistake. That's how you turn a loss or win into a loss. I mean, the Titans were in great shape up to that point. One thing, though, all preseason, the main concern about the Bears, at least listening to the score all preseason, seemed to be the defensive line. I heard Mark Grody and all the other guys talking about the one concern, besides the offense getting together with the new players, but the actual personnel concern, besides Montez Sweat, was the pass rush and the defensive line. Ryan Poles in August made a couple trades. Not huge names, but people to shore up the defensive line. It seemed to pay off immediately. I mean, the defensive line did not seem to be the problem last Sunday. Actually, they seemed to be a benefit. It was only one game. The defensive line was more than a pleasant surprise. So let's get to Caleb Williams. He had a rough day in his debut. Debut, remember that word. Here's a stat to soak in. In their first career starts, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, C.J. Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning. A lot of big names there. Hall of Famers and going to be Hall of Famers. Those guys in their pro debuts combined for 3 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Collectively, they played below average football in their first starts. Okay? I don't think the stat line for Caleb Williams shows what he did. If you didn't watch that game and saw his stat line, you're like, ooh, Caleb Williams struggled. Yeah, the first half especially was not pretty. A lot of scrambles that were way too deep, way far back, turning his back downfield. But then the second half, one play that I really loved, the Bears needed a first down, and he ran for one. He's not a running quarterback. He's a scrambling quarterback. There's a big difference. We talked about that last week. But he had this run, and he knew exactly what he needed. He knew what the yard marker was, and he got down and didn't take a big hit. That's smart football. He had a touchdown pass that was dropped. Imagine that was in his resume from last week. It's week one. You know, I didn't love some of the missed open receivers. It's week one with a bunch of new people. I did love the poise in the second half. He avoided big mistakes. You know, it was an interesting game. It was a pretty game. There's lots of highlights and lowlights, but it was a win, and you got to take it. Hey, join the score, Shane Reardon, for a football watch party tomorrow at 6 to 8 p.m. at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinemas when Chicago takes on Houston in primetime. Food, drink. Of course, Shane's there. It's going to be food and drink. Watch the game on The Wall's massive screen. That's tomorrow, 6 to 8, with Shane Reardon at The Wall at Marcus Gurney Cinema. You know, NFL Week 1, we're going to recap it a little bit before we get to Week 2. It was just weird. It was flat-out weird. The expectations of Week 1 is always, oh, the heavyweight teams will win, and the bad teams will be bad, and we'll move on to Week 2. It didn't happen that way. The Bengals lose to the Patriots. Sam Darnold leads the Vikings to a nice win. Okay, nobody liked the Vikings. We talked about that last week. Justin Fields gets a start and squeaks out a win in Atlanta. He didn't play bad. He played okay. Jim Harbaugh wins in his debut for the Chargers. The Cowboys rolled the Browns, and the Browns have quarterback issues with Deshaun Watson, both on and off the field again. The Lions get by the Rams in overtime. Great game. Rams lost Puka Nacua for a month. That's a big one for them, the wide receiver. The 49ers handle the Jets with Aaron Rodgers back. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm not sure what to think because we didn't get the ball enough. You know, San Francisco ran the ball like crazy. San Francisco's got some issues. We'll get to that in a second. All that said, to me, week one doesn't mean a lot to a team's season unless they have a big injury, right? I try not to make any declarations off week one. You know, I don't want to be that overreaction guy. But here's a couple that I'll drop that are, I think, obvious and going to happen. The Carolina Panthers, who Bears fans love what they've done for us, they stink. And it doesn't look like it's getting better anytime soon. The Packers are going to need Malik Willis. That's their backup quarterback with Jordan Love out. And we don't know how long Jordan Love's out. The Packers are going to need Malik Willis to snag a win or two. You know, their Packers are 0-1. That Malik Willis has not have a big track record. I think he's only started a couple games in the NFL. They're going to need him to step up and get a win or two in September so they don't get too far behind the eight ball with the playoffs. All right, let's get to NFL Week 2. Here's a few to put on your docket. 49ers at Vikings, is Sam Darnold for real? You're going to find out quick against the 49ers. Saints, who had a great week one at the Cowboys, same deal. Saints look great, but now you're going to Dallas against a serious team. Buccaneers at the Lions. Baker Mayfield looked awesome in week one. I mean, just fantastic in week one. 4 touchdowns, like 300 yards, 80% passing. Makes the Browns fans even crazier when they see Baker Mayfield playing well. Colts at the Packers week two. Like I said, the Colts aren't bad. But the Packers really need this one to stay afloat. This is one of those situations where if you look back, the Packers could finish 9-8. And without Jordan Love in September, that's why they were 9-8 instead of 11 wins. Bengals at Chiefs, slow start by the Bengals. They usually start slow, but this feels a little bit worse. Now you go to the Chiefs. No one thinks they can win, but that's when you really need to get perception back. Monday Night Football, you got Falcons at Eagles. All right. The tailgate on the score brought to you by Homage. Oh, you run out, level up your Chicago Bears gear. Homage has the softest, coziest throwback apparel for Bears fans and beyond. Cubs fans, Bears fans, all football fans. Bears fans have already made Homage the number one selling team in the NFL this season. Head to homage.com and use tailgate, the code tailgate, for 15% off your first order. Some exclusions apply. That's homage.com, H-O-M-A-G-E.com. Pay homage. Let's get to the business. Joining us now on the tailgate, 670 The Score, I'm Paul Pabst. Man, did this guy have a great opening day. He's Chicago Bears defensive back, number 36, Jonathan Owens. Jonathan, great to have you on the show. Before we get to the game-changing play that you and the special teams had in the third quarter against the Titans, for those who weren't there, describe the scene coming out onto the field for the Bears home opener.
Man, the energy was just what I expected it to. I've only played here and been on the away team, so it's different energy, you know, because you obviously are – you. The crowd is against you, you know. So just being there, feeling that Chicago energy. And then, I mean, obviously when Caleb ran out, it erupted. Like,
yeah,
it was great vibes, man. So it have you ready and excited to play football.
All right, let's get right to the business. Set the scene. Third quarter, Titans up 17-3. Nothing's going right. They're punting on their own 35-yard line. Take me into the huddle. A lot of people don't know about special teams and different play calls. What is the play design or the play call for you guys on the punt block?
So basically we had an interior rush going. I'm on the edge. So we're in the huddle, the special team coach, you know, you're down in the game. You want to either force like a miss hit, you know, a bad punt, or, you know, block it. That's your goal. So, he caused a rush, you know, we've been working on it all week. Guys went in, executed. I was rushing off the edge actually. And I heard it, I seen it. And, literally I'm sitting there. I have someone from their team right by me. I'm sitting there and I see the ball just, you know, bounces, boom, and it's like perfect hop. And I don't know, just instincts, man. And we work on that scoop and score drill every day. Anytime a ball is on the ground, we scoop it up and we hard three steps. So,
oh, so you guys work like loose ball grabs
all the time, any ball that hits the ground, we talk like just scoop it up, three hard steps. So that's just, man, taking drills to the field. Like I said, we work on it in practice all the time. And, by the time it got in my hands and I realized the PP who was behind me, he didn't tackle me. Man, it was just, you know, all you see is the crowd and the end zone, man. And, so the rest is history.
It is. Yeah, it is. And I watched on the replay and you scoop it, like you said, right in stride. And right before you get to about the 5-yard line, you did a little check in the rearview mirror because you don't want to get caught at the 2.
Yeah, you don't. You don't.
What
I figured I wouldn't get caught, but it was more so for me, man. It didn't feel like real life because of how easy it felt. The ball's just sitting there, pops in my hand. You know, you don't hear the crowd or anything because you're locked in.
Because you heard the football getting blocked. That's the first sign.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, I heard that. I seen it. And like I said, the ball actually hit Hardy's foot and like bounced over to the right side where I was. And that was how it ended up being right there. And literally two of my teammates are right there. It looked like I stole it from them. But
right. Well, I was wondering about that. Is there any type of, you said you rehearse this or practice this. Is there any kind of etiquette like a center fielder in baseball? Like whose ball is it? Or it's like every man for themselves?
And usually if the ball is in a crowd, we call it a city fumble and you're taught you're supposed to get on it. But and if it's a
this was a suburb fumble?
This is a summertime shy fumble. It was crowded around it, but I don't know, man. We're talking on the sideline. We needed to make a play. We needed something. And, man, just all I'm thinking was when I got there, pick it up and run. That's where my head was. So I'm blessed that I was able to be there to do it, man.
Well, there's no doubt it changed the game. I mean, the place was really a little dormant. They're trying to get back in the game. Your team is. The fans are. When you go to the sidelines, you're getting probably hit more on the sidelines by your teammates than you got hit in the game. What's it like on the sidelines? What are they saying to you?
Oh, man, just energy, man. You feel it. It's infectious. The defense, everyone, the coaches, it was just like a breath of fresh air for us. And like you said, the crowd got back into it. You know, we're feeding off the crowd's energy. And it's literally, like I said, man, now we're down one possession and the pressure is all back on them now, you know. And we go out again. We get another stop on defense. Come back, get a strip sack, then a pick six, man. It's just like, you know, start the avalanche, man. So Man, what a play, man. My family awesome. Was there. They got to see it too. So my mom, she was able to be there, and I scored in the end zone they were at too. So, man.
Oh, so they got where they had their little phones out getting pictures?
They didn't. They were watching. You know, this is just a routine punt return. So you're just watching. I had one of my cousins, this was his first game ever getting to watch me in the NFL. And
nice.
He pretty much helped, got me into football. He was a football coach. So he's giving me the explanation from a coach perspective, because he's in the stands. He boom, we got a block. Okay, I see the block. I see somebody scoop it up. I'm like, okay. Then he seen it was me. He's like, man, I lost it. He he punched my nephew. he just everybody's going crazy.
And I think the whole crowd was punching each other, man. Yeah. Joining us now on the score, Jonathan Owens, number 36, defensive back for the Bears. I got one question about etiquette, though. Daniel Hardy got the block, or at least his foot got the block. You do the scoop and score and complete the process. Mm-hmm. Who gets the ball? I lean towards you, but do you share it at all with Hardy?
It's funny because I definitely kept the football. That's
of course. Nice.
But no, man, Hardy gets the recognition, man. He's special teams player of the week. That was an incredible rush, man. He got on the edge of the guard there, and man, he made the play happen. You know, I was just able to be there, and I just wanted to take it a step further and not just scoop it, but man, make a play, because that's literally what we talk about. You know, we control defense and special teams. That's how our defensive coaches were talking, you know, so any way we can go in and make a play. So
I think casual fans, you know, they look at special teams. They don't pay attention to it as much as the offense and defense, which I think is a mistake. Take me into the etiquette, or the strategy when you're trying to block a punt. Do you get up to the line and read what they're doing and look for an opening? Do you sell it like you're dropping back? How many moves do you have to try to block a punt?
So you don't have many, because you get about 2 point, maybe 2, maybe 3 seconds before the punter kicks it. So you got to be, you know, everything has to be executed perfectly. So you work on it all throughout the week, man. You know your rush that you have to do. You watch the guy that you know you're going to do your rush against. You watch how he usually blocks this type of rush. And, you know, you come up with your plan for there. So Hardy's thing is I need to overpower him, you know. Once you get on the edge and I can drive him back, try to push him back into the punter and make a play. So that's pretty much how it unfolded.
Now, you play defensive back. You also play a lot of special teams in your career. You've been around enough to – you saw the old kickoff style, the new dynamic kickoff style. What do you like about it?
I like that, obviously, for the returners, it get they have one seam, they're gone. You know, obviously, being on kickoff, you are – sometimes you can be less aggressive because you don't want to make too much of a move, and then you get out your lane, and then it's this big gaping hole that the returner has to run through. So, and it has its pros and its cons, but, you know, they want to bring a little bit more excitement back to the kickoff. But we'll see, man, because the team start, you know, having a bunch of explosive returns, man. A bunch of more teams just going to start kicking the ball out, you know.
Yeah.
So
we'll
see how it goes, though, man. I'm excited to see.
More action. Sunday, Bears at Texans. You're a defensive back. What do you see about their quarterback, C.J. Stroud? What do you see that makes him special?
I think he has a strong arm. Like, he has a flick, man. You know, he flicks it in the ball.
Michael Vickish?
He's right-handed, so I can't really compare him. He's his own person, man. I can't really compare him to
anybody.
But he just has a flick, man. He's pretty special, man. And obviously to come in last year and do that as a rookie – you know, exceeded expectations. So, man, we're excited for the challenge, man. And, you know, obviously in Houston, where I spent 4 years of my career, I'm juiced up for this one.
All right, Jonathan Owens, number 36, Chicago Bears defensive back. I'm going to give you the nickname Scoop and Score. Let that settle for this. It sounds cool, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Scoop and Score works for at least the month of September. Joining us on 670 Score, the tailgate. Before we let you go, every guest, we do a little thing, three and out. Three questions, then you can bounce.
Okay.
Here we go. Let's start with. You played for the Texans, Packers before the Bears. When you join another team, do you throw out all your old team gear? Do you give it away, garage sale, cousins, or keep it for down the road? What's the etiquette?
Me personally, usually I keep a bunch of this stuff just for the memories. You can't wear it until you retire. Then,
right.
You know, but I keep it just for the memories, man. My kids, my little cousins, just for whenever I have I'll have a closet that's strictly for old sports memorabilia. So I keep it, though, for the memories, man. I have to.
Nice. All right. Next question. As a football player, give me an example of a good pregame meal and a bad pregame meal for a football player.
Good pregame meal, definitely some pasta. Pasta, you'll do it.
Energy?
Energy, those are complex carbs, man. So I was a kinesiology major. So complex carbs are what keeps you going for longer. Simple carbs or simple sugars are like candy. So the complex, it takes a little bit longer to break down, so it just keeps you sustained for longer. Bad pregame meal, no food.
Oh, not eating nothing because you're too nervous?
Nah, just if you want to feel light, like, I want to be light. I don't want to, man, bad. You're out there. You're burning energy. You're in the sun. You're sweating. Next thing you know, you're cramping up. So
I was thinking, like, for me, it would be like maybe buffalo wings or blue cheese or chili. That's probably bad news, right?
Yeah, you don't want anything spicy in your stomach, man, because that might come up the wrong way. And that's another thing you don't want to have to deal with. Because what if you throw up and it comes through your nose?
Man, that's bad on TV.
Yeah, that's bad for business, man.
All right. Final question. Have you ever been at your house, you know, in the off season, you're just bouncing around looking through like a junk drawer and you're looking for like tape or toothpicks or like the takeout menu, and you just accidentally pull out Olympic medal to just sit one? Ever happen?
Nah, but I've definitely pulled out just like some memorabilia or something from it, you know, just, you know, because she's had so much though. But nah, she keeps the Olympic medals in the safe. You have to.
That's smart business.
Keep those in a special place.
Yeah, and you got a lot. You got to put them, you know, in one drawer here, one drawer there. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us. First guest on the tailgate from the Bears. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Man, that was great to have Jonathan on the show. That's the first time I've talked to him. I had to ask him about the gold medals. I figured they're just laying around the house. You had so many. All right, up next, much more on the Bears, much more on the NFL, and we'll dive into college football, and we're going to bring in Northern Illinois quarterback Ethan Hampton. When did NIU know they had Notre Dame beat? That's next. I'm Paul Papps. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Papps.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the tailgate, I am Paul Papp, 670 The Score. Really great to have the Bears' Jonathan Owens on last segment. We'll get back to the NFL in a minute, but before Chicago takes on Houston, tune in tomorrow evening from 5:30 to 7:20 after the Cub game for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. I told you how much I love Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley. They'll get you set for the game. Right after the game, Mark Grody. Join Olin and Manley with instant reaction on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Wonderverse. Grody's a fun guy, man. That guy's a crack-up. I heard Tim and David Haw going at it yesterday. Fun stuff. All of it can be heard right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. It's time to get to college football. I love college football. We have a nice slate of college football games coming up today. Bama at Wisconsin early. Wisconsin getting like 16. LSU at South Carolina. Oregon State, always a nice game. Notre Dame at Purdue. Purdue usually puts up a good game, but Notre Dame got the wake-up call last week. Who knows if they unleashed the hounds? And number one, Georgia at Kentucky. So last week in college football, there were two seriously impactful games. First, Texas Longhorns go up to Ann Arbor and open up a can on Michigan. It was never close. 31-12, and it wasn't that close. Michigan didn't just lose Jim Harbaugh. They lost a bunch of starters to the NFL and graduation. But even bigger last weekend, we said last week on the show when we previewed the college football season, I'm like, oh, it's cool that Northern Illinois is going up to South Bend to play number 5 Notre Dame. This could be a fun game. I wish I would have said more than it's going to be a fun game. I wish I would have predicted Northern Illinois to make it a game or make it a great game. You know, NIU's got a very good football program for a long time now. I don't think anyone picked Northern to win that one. But Northern walked in and they gave it to Notre Dame. The Irish scored first. The Huskies come right back with a first quarter touchdown. Northern didn't get lucky. It wasn't a fluke or a bad call, and they took down Notre Dame. Northern Illinois beat them. They ran on them. They passed on them. They stopped them when they need to. They blocked that last kick when Notre Dame had a chance to grab a last-second field goal and steal the win. Northern Illinois beats Notre Dame 16-14. It was a week ago, and it still feels like it's settling in. It was like a movie. Joining us right now on the tailgate, 670 The Score. His Huskies are still riding high off the 16-14 win at number 5 Notre Dame. In South Bend, NIU quarterback Ethan Hampton. Ethan, we'll get to the game in a second, but can you describe what DeKalb and the NIU campus has been like this week?
It's been different than I've ever seen before. Everyone's really excited about the football program, unlike it's been the past few years. So seeing the student body, rally around the football team and you know, seeing all the professors when I go to class, excited, you know, for what we're going to do this year. It's great to see.
Has a professor asked you for a picture this week or an autograph?
No professors. No, I've had some people, some students, some people in my class ask me, but no professors yet.
Okay, take me back to the night before the game. You do a walkthrough at Notre Dame Stadium. We had your coach on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week, and he said he was telling you guys about not fearing Notre Dame, and he gave this speech where he goes, Rocket Ismail's not running out of that tunnel, and he got nervous because he didn't think you guys knew who he was talking about. Can you confirm?
Yeah, I can confirm. We're all kind of looking at each other and like, Rocket Ismail. No, we're not really sure. And then he goes on, he's like, Joe Montana and Jerome Bettis. And I go, oh, okay. We get his point now. But yeah, you know, I think he thought that was going to hit a little bit better than it did.
Yeah, it was this big pump up speech. And it, you know, eventually he got there. I do want to get serious for a second, because one thing I heard from you guys after the game is the level of confidence you had. And you're not surprised. And you told yourself it can happen. Describe before the game the place you and your teammates had to get mentally to accomplish this.
I honestly don't think we really had to get anywhere mentally. I think we've been there all week. You know, from Monday morning when we started the prep for Notre Dame, we were all business. And, you know, obviously, like you said, we believed in ourselves and the coaches believed in us. So coach put together a great plan for us, and we just had to go out there and execute that plan, and we did. You know, and that shows that, you know, this experience that we've had for, you know, these seniors have played these big games. You know, the bright lights don't affect us as much as it would have probably 2-3 years ago. So having that experience is huge, and, you know, not getting over our head just because we're playing number 5 Notre Dame.
Sure. What do you remember about Coach's pregame speech?
Not a lot, honestly. You know, it was basically just saying we don't need luck. I was really zoned into the game plan and reviewing on what we're going to do for the game. But, you know, the message all week was we don't need luck. And that's something that stuck with us. And, you know, Coach Ham put the belief into us that we can win this game just doing what we do. And, you know, we believe that message, and obviously we went out and showed it.
You know, take me into halftime. In the first quarter, Notre Dame scores pretty handily early. Then you came right back with the long pass, a long touchdown pass, which to me, it changed the whole game from a like, oh, we're not just happy to be here, we're right in it. Take me into halftime. Are you trying to calm down, or is it just like go over the game plan?
A little bit of both. So everyone obviously is super excited at halftime. I'm just going around the locker room telling these guys it's 0-0. We have another half football to play. You know, great teams, what they do in the second half is put their opponent to sleep and, you know, finish the job. So, you know, you can play a great first half and a terrible second half and lose by 20 points. So the leader's just going around reiterating what we have to do in that second half and, you know, just telling everyone, you know, take it play by play. What we've been doing this whole time is working for us, and, you know, stay confident, stay committed to what we put in all week. And, you know, I told them this in the locker room, I promise you by the end of the game, we could take it play by play. We take it, you know, one step at a time, and we'll be happy when this game ends and we'll be winning.
I think we need video of that speech. We got to get that out there somewhere. We got it. All right. We're going to find it. Northern Illinois quarterback Ethan Hampton joining 670 to score the tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst. Late in the game, you guys were trying to close it out, run the ball, run the clock. And there's a play where it looked like a first down for Northern Illinois, and the ref spotted the ball. I'm pretty objective. I did not think it was a fair spot for Northern Illinois. What was your reaction when that happened?
I would agree. I think that we got the first down from my point of view. And, you know, when I watched the game over again, I thought we did. But, you know, the referees, they get paid a lot of money to do their job. So they might have seen something we didn't see. And, you know, and even if they didn't, they make mistakes just like us. So.
But when that mistake happens, do you start having just a doubt in your head like, oh, no, this is somehow going to get taken from us? Like, we did our part, but it could get taken from us somehow.
Not at all. You got to move on. You got to have a short memory. Like I said earlier, each play is the play. So, you know, we wanted to get that third down conversion. We didn't. Move on to the next play. Special teams comes in, makes the field goal. So it all worked out in the end. Would have worked out a little bit easier if we got that first down, but, right. You know, everything happens for a reason. So, you know, it all worked out for us, and it's not a game-defining play, which is nice.
So when Notre Dame is lining up the long game-winning field goal, or possible game-winning field goal, where are you on the sidelines? Are you watching? Are you praying? Are you jinxing it? What are you doing?
Yeah, a couple prayers for sure. That's a big belief of mine, and I was with kind of on my own and trying to take the moment in because I really believed they weren't going to make that. So obviously had the butterflies, but I was with one of my best friends and former teammates, Casper. He was on the sidelines, Casper Rukowitz. I was with him and a few of the other people just down at the far end. You know, and when I saw that block, it was we basically blacked out. Like, we don't know what happened. You know, all of a sudden we're running on the field and, you know, you kind of realize what just happened. And, you know, that's an experience I'll remember for the rest of our lives. The whole team will remember for the rest of our lives. And you know, when we come back here 20 years from now to DeKalb as a team, you know, we'll be talking about that time we beat Notre Dame.
Well, I was wondering if that had hit you yet, because I think you're 20, 22 years old. This is beyond historical. I mean, if you look at great moments in college football history and upsets, while you guys believed in yourself, the country didn't leading up to the game. This is historical. They'll talk about this as one of the great upsets in recent college football history. In the state of Illinois, one of the great sporting events for a college in Illinois, I think 25 years from now, this game could resonate. Do you realize that?
I think it'll hit a little bit harder when I'm older. Right now, right. I'm trying to realize that and, you know, realize how cool it'll be. Like, you look back to the App State Michigan game and you still see highlights on that every, you know, once so often. So, you know, I think when I'm 10 years down the road and, you know, I have a job and kids and,
right.
you know, I see that random NIU highlight pop up on my feed, it'll be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it's already being used as a cautionary tale. Steve Sarkisian, the head coach of Texas, talked to his team the other day, and he showed him the end of the Notre Dame-Northern Illinois game and said, beware, this can happen to you. So that's pretty cool. You're being seen on other campuses.
Yeah, that is really cool. I didn't know that. But yeah, I mean, those situations happen to anyone. It's not just, you know, the big teams and, you know, games when you're supposed to win. Those can happen in situations to us in the MAC game. So it's actually kind of a great lesson for us to know that it can happen to us. We're not, you know, all holy NIU now just because we beat Notre Dame. We got to kind of come back down and recenter ourselves for Buffalo.
All right, a couple more things before we get you out of here. Ethan Hampton, Northern Illinois quarterback, 670 the score. Describe not the celebration on the field, but the celebration either in the bus or back in DeKalb that night.
It was fun. So
Give me some more.
Yeah, the bus ride was fun for a long while. I mean, we're basically all on Twitter watching the world freak out.
Right.
And, you know, the last little bit, we were playing just some games on our phones with each other. And we get off the bus in DeKalb. And we have this huge, basically, party waiting for us right outside of our indoor, full of students. And, you know, that's something that was the coolest part to me is the student body came out at 10 p.m. at night on a Saturday night when they probably want to be other places. And they supported us. And, you know, that meant the most to us as players was knowing we had the support of the community and the school behind us was huge. And then after, you know, all that settled down, we went to Fatty's. I actually have their shirt on. So we went to Fatty's. They're a huge supporter of NIU football. Went there, hung out for a little bit. I actually have a new burger coming out at Fatty's. So,
whoa. Is this breaking news?
It's breaking news. It's in the works. So, yeah, if anyone, you know, is hungry in the DeKalb area, go to Fatty's. The Hampton burger should be coming out in the next couple weeks. So we're working on that.
What are the ingredients? We got to get this story.
It's so they have a famous potato salad. That's really what they're known for. And it's a burger with a little bit of potato salad on top. So it's still in the works, trying to figure out all the details and taste test everything. But yeah, right now, you know, just worked that out the other day. But yes, yeah, so we went to Fatty's, celebrated there for a little bit. And, you know, went a few other places that night. And, you know, it was a great atmosphere seeing everyone rally around the program and, you know, seeing the love that we got from the student body. That's the biggest thing for us. And, you know, they're the reason we keep going. And, you know, when the going gets cut, when the going gets tough, knowing that we have the school behind us is huge for us.
Yeah. Having your burger named at Fatty. I heard Fatty's is awesome to have a burger. This is an honor. I'm actually jealous of you. That was great having you on the show. It was great TV and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, Paul.
That's the kind of win, again, they'll talk about it for 20 years. You know, Appalachian State a bunch of years ago beat Michigan. They still play that clip. And the other thing is, with the 12-team playoff, Northern Illinois has a shot. Northern Illinois has to absolutely run the table and steamroll some people. But there's a scenario where Northern Illinois football could be in the college football playoffs. I bet they were living it up at Fatty's Pub up in DeKalb. I need a Fatty shirt pronto. If you need a shirt, you need a shirt, football shirt, Bears shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie for the season. Go to homage.com and use the code tailgate for 15, easy segue there, 15% off your first order. Some exclusions apply. HOMAGE.com, HOMAGE.com. Get something for the wife. Get something for the kids. I got my kids a couple Bears shirts. They're like, this is fantastic, Dad. I look like a hero. Go to homage.com and look like a hero. Time for the big man on campus. The best player in college football last week. Now, I gave a lot of love to Northern Illinois, so I'm going to throw it out there to Quinn Ewers, the Texas quarterback. He ripped up Michigan. This guy had a windy career. He was a high school All-American. He went to Ohio State. You may not remember that. Didn't work out there. Went down to Michigan. He's holding off Arch Manning. Texas looks fantastic. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. Now back to the NFL. Game ball. NFL player of the week on the tailgate. We don't have anything to give this player except for respect. Maybe we could send him some homage gear or some score gear. I'm going to give it to Tampa Bay quarterback Baker Mayfield. This guy was let go by the Browns. He was a number one draft pick. He bounced around, you know, Carolina for a little bit, then the Rams for a little bit. He lands in Tampa, and it's basically last call for his career, and he flourished. He played great last year, and he might be playing better this year. His career is back on track. And the team that let him go, the Cleveland Browns, they're a mess. At the quarterback position on and off the field, they're paying Deshaun Watson $300 million for below-average football. Let that sink in as Baker Mayfield throws for 300 yards and four touchdowns. All right, up next. Pub and Grub of the Week. How's morale? We'll check on the Bear fan morale. My Bears-Texans prediction and a lot more. This is the tailgate. 670 the score.
We're back with more of the tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, it ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parcese didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 the Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the tailgate, 670 the Score. Very snarky. Chris Tannehill to play the Rudy clip after the NIU guest and the Notre Dame loss. If you missed any part of this show, the tailgate on 670 the Score, get the Odyssey app. If you missed Bears defensive back Jonathan Owens, who joined us early on the show, get the Odyssey app. You could podcast this show at your leisure. And another reminder, homage.com. That's our boss. Homage.com, tailgate for 15% off your first order. Use the code tailgate. It's almost sweatshirt season. It's almost hoodie season. I hate that it's still 80 degrees in Chicago. Go to HOMAGE.com, homage.com, pay homage, get some gear. It's sweatshirt season. You know, we keep it pretty positive on the score. You know, we keep it pretty positive on the tailgate. We want to have fun, get you set for the weekend. But there is a serious topic going on in the NFL. Tua Tagovailoa, the very good NFL quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, got another concussion the other night, national TV against the Bills. I think a lot of people saw it or saw it on social media. It's being reported that he's had three career recorded NFL concussions. If you go back to that 22 season, we all know what happened. He got hit in the Bills game. I think it was week four. And they listed it as an air quotes back injury. We all know what we saw. This is likely his fourth recorded NFL concussion that we've seen. You throw in college. But it's one of those stories that's really, really frustrating and tough to cover because you cover it as both a human being and a sports media person. So the sports media person talks about what is he going to do? When will he be back? What did the Dolphins do at the quarterback position? Short-term, long-term? Did they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? And that sounds cold. But and then you could talk about he should retire as if we should tell other people when they should quit or how to take care of themselves. You know, it's very frustrating to me because I didn't play high-end football. Like most of us, we didn't play high-end football. I know people who have. And it's some scary stuff with head injuries. I went to the same high school as Rodney Harrison, the great NFL defensive back for the Chargers and the Patriots. I've had many conversations with him, and he told me about the wear and tear, that's the friendly way to put it, of the NFL. And I asked him at the end one time, and I'm going to let Roddy tell his story. I'm not going to tell all Rodney's stories, but you know he's got you know a lot of wear and tear from playing in the NFL. He says he would do it all again. You know, they're a different type of person, people who play in the NFL. That's why we love watching it, because they do what we can't. There was a guy named Tyler Varga at Yale. I know he played 1 year in the NFL for the Colts at running back, had some concussion issues and got out. He wanted to be a doctor. So serious story, something to keep an eye on and, you know, frustrating to cover, frustrating to watch. All right, little Levitt here. Time for Pub and Grub of the Week. Let's head down to Beverly. Cork and Carey, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, Beverly, fun neighborhood, great pub. They also have a pub right next to Sox Park. Let's get into Bears fans morale. Okay, every week on this show, we're going to do a little welfare check. How's morale last week? You know, you'd think being 1-0, morale would go up. You know, last week I said morale was 8.8 because it was almost off the charts, if there are charts going into the football season. This week, I think there's a little drop for Bears fans. This is a win, but a win with a little mental baggage. Yeah, the Bears won. No, the offense was not what you expected. The defense looked great. I love the defensive line. That was a pleasant surprise. Rome Odunze has a knee injury. That bums you out, but then it's not as bad as you expected. You know, when I first heard the news, I hear MCL. I'm like, oh, no. I'm sure everyone else in Chicago was like, oh, no. But I'm currently setting Bears fan morale at a little bit of a dip at 8.5. Even though it was a win, it just is like, man, I wanted a more clean win. Time for my Bears game prediction. Last week, I had the Bears beating the Titans 23-20, so I wasn't far off. This week, I'm trying to be positive, but realism is creeping in. I love what the Bears defense did last week. Unfortunately, Will Levis isn't the starting quarterback for Houston. I sure wish he was. CJ Stroud is. They've added a lot of talent. It's at home. It's hard to picture the Bears winning, right? I try to be positive. It's hard to picture it. This early in the season, if this game were in week 7, I may think completely differently. But I'm going with a low-scoring, tight Houston win, 20-16. And I think that'd be a nice performance by the Bears. 20-16, keep it close. All right, great day on the score. Let's huddle up. This is a toughie. Facing Houston at Houston, week 2. On paper, they're better than the Bears. That said, the Bears' defense can rush a passer like last week, get a few breaks. The offense has some better timing, some better interior blocking. I would love some of that. They could steal this one on national TV, and that would be a huge perception win for the Bears. Worst case scenario, Bears come back 1-1 mid-September with some winnable games coming up. So don't bail on halftime like a lot of people on social media did last week. People were going nuts. Mentally or physically, people were losing their minds. Let the game play out. Relax. It's 4 quarters. It's not 2. It's time to watch some football, college football today, NFL tomorrow, settle in tomorrow night. And just remember, a week ago, nobody thought Northern Illinois could beat Notre Dame. Let that soak in. Have some fun. Enjoy the football. I'm Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate. We're here for you. 670 The Score.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.